We've had several hiatus on this series, and I'm one that likes to finish what I start. And so tonight we're going to return to Hebrews chapter 11. And I guess we could go ahead and skip it if we had enough faith. All the faith that we need, we could just forget the rest of it and say, well, we've obtained it, and so let's move on to something else. But how many really would like to ask the Lord to increase your faith? And Sister Tricia already dealt with that. Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. And one of the ways he helps our unbelief is through the Word. Isn't that what the Word says? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So let's pause before we begin tonight and ask the Lord to bless the teaching of the Word. Father, hallelujah. God, we know that you're in our midst. These are the people of God. They've gathered in your name. They've sought your face. They've worshiped. Now, Lord, I pray you challenge us with your Word. God, help us to see beyond the temporal. Help us to see beyond the physical. Help us to see the spiritual and the eternal. Not only, Lord, in general, but in our individual lives and families, to see what you're doing, Lord, in that realm of the unseen. God, from young to old tonight, help us just to have a faith that makes us aware of God at work in our lives. God at work in our lives. We ask these things, Lord, as you help us teach. In Jesus' name, amen. We begin this series, Making It Into the Hall of Faith. Make it into the Hall of Faith. I was going to say something clever there. Remember that picture of the hall? Do you remember that? And you can see several names there. Maybe that's the reason it went out. But Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and it's curving. The hall's curving around. I was wondering if we kept walking down that hall where we could see more of the names, what other names we would see. And wouldn't you just love to be able to walk far enough down that hall and see your name chiseled there? In that hall of faith. Maybe you can say it with me. The theme of chapter 11, the hinge of the whole chapter, is verse 6. Could you say that with me? Who's going to begin it here? Okay, let's go. But without faith, it is impossible to please God, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Tonight, I want to talk about faith that makes you different. Faith that makes you different. If you have your Bibles open, is in verse 31. That's going to be our text and our focus tonight. But it says, by faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. It's a really, really short verse, verse 31. Very short verse, but it's so powerful, the story that is told here. And if you're attuned, you just have to read the name and understand what a tremendous thing this is. Rahab. Rahab. And look what it says right before Rahab. The harlot Rahab. Now, it might have been something to find your name if you went around that curve in that corridor and saw your name chiseled there. But if we went on around the curve, we would have seen Rahab's name chiseled there. That's a marvelous thing. There's something marvelous about this grace. Can you say amen? I like to hear this conversation between Christians. You know, maybe it's someone new to the church and someone says, do you know that sister that sits over there? Did you know she was a dancer before she got saved? Do you see that brother that sits over? Did you know he was an alcoholic before he got saved? And I love to hear that conversation because many times the response is, you've got to be kidding me. You'd never know it. Isn't it marvelous what grace will do? I love those kind of testimonies, and that's where we're going to end up. But where I want to start tonight is I want to ask you a question, because I hear many times Christians make this statement here in these United States, and they'll make the statement and they'll say America is a Christian nation. I want to ask you tonight, is America a Christian nation? I'm not going to take a poll. But you know what I believe in 2014? If a Christian says America is a Christian nation, they are living in denial. Now, I know if you are saying that America was founded on biblical principles. America was founded with a Christian influence. America was founded by Christians coming and establishing governments, local governments. That is correct. But to say in 2014 that America is a Christian nation fails to realize America has become increasingly wicked and pagan and anti-godly and perverted. It has become Christ-hating. America has just recently embraced one thing after the other that God calls an abomination. Listen to its media. Listen to its authority figures. Listen to the people of renown and so-called popularity. Listen to them and tell me that America is a Christian nation. Isn't that sad that we have to live there? Now, we're going to get to Rahab, but I'm going to tell you the point of this sermon tonight. There are two responses we Christians can have to the wickedness of our American society. Two responses Christians can have to the wickedness of American society. And I want you to listen to this, because this, to me, is so important. And I'm trying to change modes because I was prepared for it to be right there and you guys already be reading it, but you're not. The first response, and this is what many have taken, is that they embrace the corrupt culture. I'm talking about Christians, so-called Christians. They embrace a corrupt culture and say, I can still be a Christian and be a part of the culture. I want to tell you, increasingly, Christians of America fall into that category. They say, I, as a Christian, I can be a part of our culture and still be a Christian. It's everywhere. Amen. You can go in our churches and there's little demarcation between the church and the world. Why? Because that is a response. I can still be a Christian and live like the culture. The second response is, and there's many that fall into this category, they're the ones that say, well, you know, I know the culture's corrupt, and I know Christians are to live and be different, but I can't be. I can't live differently than the culture. I can't be different from those that are around me. It's just too hard. I simply can't be different from my culture. I want to tell you, both of those are wrong responses. The response that says, I can still be a Christian and live like the culture, and the response that says, there's no way I can live differently than this culture. I want to tell you, we're going to see in the story of Rahab tonight, if you truly have faith in God, it doesn't matter how godless and wicked the culture that you live in is, you can live differently. How many really believes that tonight? If you really have faith in God, I'm talking about more than religion. You got faith in God. It doesn't matter how wicked the culture becomes, you can live differently. Those that respond the first way, they barge ahead. They call themselves Christians, but they're deceived. The second give up and say, I can't live it, and they abandon their Christian faith. But Rahab's faith says that you can live in the most wicked, pagan of cultures, and you can be saved, and you can have a godly family coming after you that proves your faith made a difference in you. Hallelujah. You see, this Rahab is a non-Israelite, non-people of God, pagan woman, and yet she's in this chapter of the Hall of Faith with men like Enoch and Moses and Abraham. Think of that. Think that she's right here in this Hebrews chapter 11. Why? Because regardless of her culture, her faith in the living God made a difference in her. You know, there's something in the New Testament I return to over and over, but Paul wrote to those that had been the wickedest of pagans, and he said, you turn from idols to serve the living God. Hallelujah. Even that's the story of Abraham. I want to tell you what's more incredible that she's in that than that she's in the Hall of Faith or Hebrews chapter 11. Even more incredible than just being in chapter 11 of Hebrews, did you know that Rahab is in the lineage of our Savior? Hallelujah. Why? Because of her faith. This prostitute, this harlot, this pagan, this Gentile, this one raised without ever having heard of the true God, this one that was a member of a culture that was corrupt, she becomes a member of the family of God. She becomes ultimately a mother in the line of the lineage of Jesus Christ. That's faith that'll make you different. Let me just briefly tell the story of Rahab. The children of Israel had crossed Jordan and they're poised to take possession of the land God promised them, Canaan. And Joshua, being a great military leader, he sent out a reconnaissance team. He sent out spies before he attacked inwardly. Now, I'm not going to give all the details because we preached recently on this, but Jericho had to be taken because it barred the pass into the interior of Canaan's land. And so Joshua sent these spies, and they came to Jericho that was the obstacle, and they spent the night at this place, Rahab the harlot. Now, you got to understand something. This will play a role later. But they weren't there because of her trade. It's just the fact that those that were harlots many times ran the only quote-unquote hotels or places of lodging for visitors. And so they were looking for a place of lodging, and they chose her house. Well, somehow the word got out to the king of Jericho, and he sent soldiers and messengers, and he said, Rahab, we've heard that these men from Israel have come to your house, and we've got to have them because their people are intent of destroying our city. Well, she lied. She's not saved yet, okay? This is pre-salvation. She lied and said, oh yeah, they were here. But they before they closed the gates of the city, they snuck out into the dark. You better go hurry and catch up with them before they get to Jordan, cross over Jordan. And so here these go, the soldiers go chasing them. And what had happened was Rahab, when she heard that the soldiers were coming, she took these spies up on top of the roof. And something else for our story later on, that the lodging place, the abode, the residence of Rahab was built into the wall of Jericho. You remember last time we talked about how thick those walls were, and her house, 15 feet wide was the wall right there, and her house was literally built on and into the wall of the city. And back then, the roofs are flat. So she took the spies up on the top of her house where she had flax drying. I don't know if Michael dries flax or hauls flax or not, but that's what she did. And she had sheaves of it there. And she laid the spies down there on the flat of the roof. And she put all this flax around them so that when the king's soldiers came looking for them, they couldn't find them. And after the king's soldiers left, she said to them, she said, you know, people here in the city and throughout the land are scared to death of you guys, you Israelites. And she said, here's why. We heard how God opened up the Red Sea and brought you out of Egypt. We heard how God gave you victory over all your enemies, victory over Og, the king of King Og and king of Sion and all these kings. And we've heard how God just gives you victory. And the people's hearts are just full of fear, and the city's shut up. And she said, you know what I've concluded? She said, every country had their own God. Every city had their own God. Every people had. But she said, I've concluded that you Israelites, your God is the true God of heaven above and earth beneath, and I have concluded that he will give you this land. He will give you our city. And she said, because, now this is her faith we're talking about. She said, because I have come to the conclusion that your God is the true God, you are the people of God, and he's going to give you this city and the land. She said, because of that, I plead with you, when you come to destroy our city, would you not save my father and my mother and my brothers and my sisters and all my nieces and my nephew? Would you not save them? You got to understand this. This isn't just a speech. They're getting ready to do something. The gates of the city have been shut up. The king's army's out looking for these men, and she's making preparation to lower these men down through her window. Remember, her house is on the wall, down through the window, over the wall, so that they can escape. And as they're making preparation, they're talking, and these two spies said, yes, we will do that. We'll make a pledge to save your family. But what you need to do This cord, now listen, it just happened to be a scarlet or a red cord. And I had all pictures to show you this, but the spy said to her, this cord that you're going to take to lower us down with, if you'll just leave this hanging from your window, when we come and the city is destroyed, when we see that red cord there, every army man will know that the people in your house are to be preserved. So make sure your father, your mother, your brothers, your sisters, and all their children, make sure they're in the house with the red cord, because that is the house that will be saved. Now I want to tell you something. Remember, Ahab's house is built into the wall. See, that red cord is two things. Number one, it let every soldier know that the people in Rahab's house, by the pledge of the spies, was to be preserved. It marked the house for the soldiers. But it also marked the house when God shook the walls of Jericho down. Because most of the drawings are inaccurate, because it shows all the walls of Jericho have fallen. But did you know one segment of the walls of Jericho's was not flattened? It was that segment that had that scarlet cord hanging from it. Oh, hallelujah. I just want to pause to say here, you see, her faith was not just, let me just put it this way, her faith ultimately was in the blood of Christ. She didn't understand it, but we do. That scarlet cord, it's a symbol, it's a figure of the redeeming blood of the Lamb. And just like that rope kept everyone in her house saved, it kept her house from falling when everything else is falling. We know that it's the blood of Christ on the house of our heart that keeps us. When everything else is going to be fallen, we can stand. And it's by the blood of Jesus that we're saved. Can you amen? Say amen tonight? Oh, what a story. And I want us to go back and look briefly at this story. Amen. And I want to note, first of all, that Rahab wasn't saved because of her good deed of saving the spies, but she was saved because she put her faith in God and showed her faith by displaying her obedience, by putting that scarlet robe out of the window as she was instructed. You said, I thought that all happened because she saved the spies' life. And by the way, she was a wise woman too, because when she let him down off the wall, she said, listen, she said, don't go back towards your camp east toward Jordan. That's the way they expect you to go. They'll be looking for you. You go the opposite direction of your people. Go to the mountains and hide out there and wait till they finish the search and then go back. I mean, she was a wise woman too. But that's not what saved her. She wasn't saved. I know that's why the spies made the covenant with her, but she wasn't saved by her deed of saving the spies' life, because she could have saved the spies' life, but if she hadn't believed in putting that cord out the window that would save her, she still would have died, even though she had done that good deed. But see, ultimately what saved her was that she put her faith and obeyed the commandment of God through those spies and put her faith in that scarlet cord. I want you to know, we can do a lot of good things and we need to do it, but in the end, not one good deed that we have done is going to save us. What saves us is that we have put our faith in that scarlet rope, that red rope in the blood of Jesus. Amen. You can say, I came to church and went to the altar and got saved. Amen. That was just the occasion, because coming to church didn't save you and going to the altar didn't save you. It was when you put your faith in the blood of Christ. And I want to tell you, everything that can be shaken will be shaken and walls will tumble down. But everyone that's got that red rope of the blood of Christ in their life is going to stand when everything is shaken. Oh, can you say amen? She believed in this God of Israel. She had heard of his power, and she believed and showed her faith by hanging out that scarlet thread, that red rope that the men had told her to. Don't let this escape you, though. This wasn't a church woman that got saved. This was a pagan woman that should have been another casualty of her corrupt culture. But because of her faith, she did not perish with the rest of them. She lived. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask a question. If someone ungodly like Rahab can be saved out of a corrupt culture, why cannot God's people be saved from becoming like that corrupt culture? I've never understood that. I mean, we say we believe it, and we do. I'm talking about we Christians as a whole. We say, you know, there can be the most vile sinner in the world, and God is able to save and to bring them out of that corrupt culture. And on the other hand, Christians by the slew are letting that corrupt culture pull them in, drag them out of church. Well, if he's able to bring a sinner out of the corrupt culture, he's able to keep a Christian, amen, from returning to that corrupt culture. Amen. I want to give you three quick lessons of Rahab's kind of faith, very quickly. Number one, regardless of your environment, hear me across the building, regardless of your environment, you can live for God. Rahab lived in Jericho. Rahab lived in a corrupt culture, but she found God and put her faith in him. Hallelujah. How many believe what I'm telling you? Regardless of your corrupt culture. Now I want to tell you something. Not everyone has the best environment of work or school or home or neighborhood, but it can be the worst of those, and you can put your faith in God and be saved. You know, I was thinking today, 34 years ago, I was in high school. Is that right? I graduated 34 years. So starting high school, 38 years ago. It's getting worse. I mean, public school was wicked. I seen drug sales in the bathroom. I heard ever imaginable and unimaginable wicked things said by the kids. Seeing perversion. I cannot imagine the wickedness of some of our young people in the public schools that they go in. And there's even wickedness in Christian schools. I'm just at this place in my ministry. We either get this or we don't. If there is no difference, there is no difference. Amen. But I want to tell you, Rahab is an example. It does not matter how wicked your public school is. You can live for God. And we've got different young people that do it right now and have done it. They've lived completely different. There was no question about their faith all their years through their public school. Again, you don't have to say, well, I just can't live differently. You can if you put your faith in God. Rahab's an example. Some of you are in work environments, filth, dirty jokes, all kinds. And I'm not saying it's easy, but I'm going to tell you, you put your faith in God, you can live for God in that environment. And my heart is set, and I'm thankful I have a Christian spouse and I have a Christian home, and my heart is always burdened with folks that get saved, and the folks of their household are even against their serving God, and there's bad things on the television and bad music playing and bad things that are said. But even though that's a great burden in my heart, I want to tell you, even in that kind of home environment, if you put your faith in God, you could live for him. Rahab is an example. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad for that tonight? I wonder about that. I wonder about, and you know what's so upsetting about that? Listen, and I'll move forward. Knowing people like Rahab, knowing folks like, and I'm not going to call any names, but some of our young people that serve God, their family's not saved, they go to an awful school environment, and knowing how they continue to serve God in that, and then to have those from Christian homes that can't find it in themselves to serve God. It's all a matter, do you have your faith in God? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, if it was just getting golden stars at church, that'd be one thing, but we're talking about a faith that saves when the walls come tumbling down. Amen. And so I want to stress that regardless of your environment, this is what Rahab teaches us, regardless of your environment, you can live for God like Rahab did. Secondly, regardless of your past, you can have a great future. I said, regardless of your past, you can have a great future. Oh, hallelujah. Aren't you glad God starts with us not where we could be or should be, but he starts with us where we're at right here, right now, when he finds us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Regardless of your past, you can have a great future. You know, some scholars have gone to great lengths to try to prove that when it calls Rahab a harlot, it really means hostess of the motel. But let me just say the word harlot in Greek and see if you recognize it. Porne. What does that sound like to you? Pornography, that's the word. There's no, she was not a hostess. Amen? I mean, if you go to a motel and the lady behind has a nameplate that says, my name's Pornography, she's, you know what I'm trying to say? I mean, the point is, and Scripture is clear. You know why scholars try to do that? Because they just can't get it, this grace thing. How does a harlot end up having faith? How does a harlot end up in the people of God? How does a harlot? But I'm going to tell you, that's God's grace. That's not an excuse to become that wicked person. That's a wonderful example of what God can do with wicked people. So let's just get it straight. She was a harlot. What a sordid past. Oh, that's why you should never give up on people. However lost they are, however far out in sin, however wicked they become, don't give up on them, because Rahab was a harlot. Are you hearing me tonight? Rahab tells us that regardless of your past, you can have a great future. Now, what I do believe is that when Rahab put her faith in the true and living God, she was no longer a harlot. I really believe that. I believe when she found God, she quit that lifestyle. How many believes that? Don't tell me you found God and you keep living the corrupt lifestyle. You've not found God. You've not put your faith in him. And so her past was a harlot. I can't emphasize, her past was that she was a harlot. But she didn't continue to be a harlot. I know it went a little rough. When the walls of Jericho fell down, the spies went in there. Joshua sent them in there to get Rahab and her family. And they put them outside of Israel's camp because they're not the people of God. So somehow the other, and this is just my personal belief, but Rahab began to live the life of faith because she's been put outside the camp as this Gentile woman. But how many knows the Bible story? Does anyone know who Rahab married? I was going to give $100 to whoever answered that. Don't look in your Bible. I was joking. That was a joke. She married Salmon. Well, who is Salmon? He was a prince of the tribe of Judah. Think about that. This wicked woman, harlot, puts her faith in God. You know, people settle for so much less than what God would have for them if they would serve him. Look at her past. She had no reason to ever believe that she could have a husband of reputation. But she put her faith in God, and now she's married to a prince of Judah. Does anyone know who one of their kids was? Almost getting there. Boaz. Boaz had a wife named Ruth, and they had a child named Jesse, and Jesse had a child named David. Rahab, the great grandmother of King David. Who? The harlot Rahab. What changed her? She put her faith in God. Aren't you marveling at God's grace tonight? And David had a son who had a son who had a son who had a son. And it's through two lines, both the mother, we know Jesus, Heavenly Father was his real father, but through both his mother and his adopted father, You know what I'm saying? Joseph. Did you know that Rahab actually provided human genes for the Messiah? What grace? Why? She put her faith in God. I want you to see it. I don't know if you can get there in time, Brother Mike, but Matthew 1, verse 1. I just wanted you to see this tonight. Maybe you can get there as I read. This is how Matthew begins. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham beget Isaac. Let me tell you something. I know genealogies can get boring. How many's ever been bored stiff reading through the genealogies? My dad used to read them. And so-and-so beget so-and-so, and so-and-so beget so-and-so beget so-and-so. But every once in a while, as you read through them, if you're awake, you can start shouting. There's something to rejoice over. So here we go. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas and his brethren, and Judas begat Phares and Zarah of Thamar, and Phares begat Israel, and Israel begat Aram, and Aram begat Abinadab, and Abinadab begat Naasson, and Naasson begat Salmon, and Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab. We go from the Old to New Testament. The names get changed because of the time. But Boaz of Rahab. And Boaz beget, I skipped one, and you guys caught it a while ago, but I didn't. Beget Obed of Ruth. And Obed beget Jesse. And Jesse beget David the king. And David the king beget Solomon of her that had been the wife of Uriah. And if you go on, you would get to Jesus Christ. I just want you to see it. Rahab is right there in the lineage of Jesus. Who? The harlot Rahab. But by faith, she was a changed woman. So I'm going to say it one more time. How many believes, regardless of your past, you can have a great future? I'm going to tell you with that as well. You may lack a lot of things in your home and the home you're raised in, but it does not have to be that way for you and your children. Amen. I like to tell you, I'm amazed at some of our young people. They do not have that home environment. And I like to tell them as they serve God, look, you haven't had a Christian environment. You haven't grown up, but it can be different for you and your family. And I like to tell them, imagine this with me. If it's a young man, I say to them, Noah, why don't you help me? Just tell me. I like to say to them, use your imagination here, all right? Just sit right here. You weren't raised in a Christian home. Everything was against you, but you've served God. And I want you to think 10 years down the road. And right next to you, right on your left arm, is this beautiful Christian young lady that loves God with all her heart. And you look down the pew here, can you imagine with me? And here's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 kids sitting listening to Pastor Hurst going, amen, yes. And your family loves God, and you don't ever talk about divorce, and your kids don't cuss, and isn't that what? That's what happened to Rahab. I mean, part of the most wicked, corrupt culture had lived the worst of lifestyles. But because of her faith in God, she, thank you, brother. Amen. How many believes that tonight? Last lesson. Regardless of the destruction around you, you can be saved. The walls of Jericho fell except that portion of Rahab's house that had that scarlet thread, that red rope. And I've already been mentioning it, but I'm going to tell you, we're going to see destruction like we've never seen it. I mean, we've been hit by this so much, we're just kind of numb. But we're living in a nation that has legalized perverted marriages, legalized doing drugs as recreation. And you think we're going to get by without destruction? I want to tell you, God doesn't even have to send lightning bolts to judge America. Just the consequences of America's sin is going to bring great, great destruction. The home's been destroyed. People's lives have been destroyed. I want to tell you, sin will always do that. It'll destroy your mind. It'll destroy your home. It'll destroy your family. It'll destroy your heart, your body, everything about it. But if you'll put your faith in Jesus Christ, when everything is being destroyed, and even that eschatological or that end time judgment, when everything's being destroyed, you're going to be safe and secure as Rahab's house and all that were in it. You see, we don't live into ourselves, and our decisions, whether or not we serve God, they affect a whole lot of people. Didn't we see it tonight? I'm about done. Just hold on with me just a few more seconds here. Didn't we see it tonight? Because Rahab put her faith in God, her father, her mother, her brothers and sisters, and their spouses and their children, they also were preserved when the walls of Jericho came falling down. Brother Mike, could let's find a place to end. You didn't know it was dependent upon him, but it is. 1 John, can you get to there real quick? 1 John chapter 2. By the way, young people, 1 John is a great epistle for young people. He's so positive. He said, I write unto you young people because you've overcome the wicked one. That's the confidence he has in young people. But look what he says in chapter 2. This is where it's at. This is where it's at. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Don't love the culture. If you're more into the voice than you are into church, something's bad wrong. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Here it is. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. The walls of Jericho will come tumbling down. But if your faith is unreservedly placed in Jesus Christ, your house is going to stand. Your house in life is going to stand. Hallelujah. But oh, you got to stay in the house where the red rope hangs. Hallelujah. Stay in a place that you're covered by the blood of Jesus. Live a life that's covered by the blood of Jesus. Think the thoughts that are covered by the blood of Jesus. Have the desires that are covered by the blood of Jesus. And when everything else falls, you won't be destroyed. You'll live in glory. Is that what we're singing tonight, Brother Bright? Live in glory by and by. Amen. Music, would you come? As I was preparing today, I couldn't help but thinking several years ago, I was pastoring here, but I went to preach a revival in Kentucky. And there was a lady there every night, every service, and she would from the beginning sing and shout, and you could just tell she loved God with all of her heart. And a little bit into the revival, the pastor said, did you notice a certain woman? I said, oh yeah, I did. He said, it hadn't been too long. She was on the streets of a certain city, a prostitute. And somebody told her about Jesus, and she got saved, and her life has completely changed. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to tell you something. If I ask us tonight, do you believe God can change the wicked people of our corrupt society if they put their faith in him, you'd say yes. But we also need to believe that God can keep us from that corrupting society. He'll change your life. You put your faith in him, he will change your life. He will make a difference in you like he did Rahab. Because if any person is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away, and all things are become new. Could you stand tonight? Would you just thank him for the difference faith in him makes? Hallelujah. Would you thank him tonight? The difference that faith in him makes. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. As the church is praying, I wonder if there is anyone here tonight. You'd say, I'd like for God to make that difference in my life. I've not really given my life and my heart, my soul to him, but I'd like to believe in him tonight and have him make that difference in my soul. Anyone here would say, I need God. I need God. I'm tired of being a part of this corrupt culture. I need God. I need the difference that he could make in my life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, I want to put it this way. If no one needs to come out of the culture, I wonder if there's anyone that would say, I want to have my faith so placed in God that I'll never become a part of this corrupt culture in which I live. Is that you? Would you just lift a hand and say, I want to put my faith so firmly in God that I never become a part of this corrupt culture. Never. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want us to do something before we come. Let's lift our hands. This is going to sound odd, but let's thank God for saving Rahab. Amen. Let's thank God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the power of your grace. Thank you for the power of your grace, Lord. You took someone that was so wicked, so defiled, so corrupt. You brought them out, brought them into your family, brought them into the lineage of our Messiah, the Lord Jesus. And Lord, what you've done for Rahab, Lord, you're able to do for those that we love and those that are around us. You're able to save them too, Lord. Just as drastically, Lord, you're able to save them. Hallelujah. Let's find a place to pray tonight. Would you do it? Say, God, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. Lord, help me to believe firmly in you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Regardless of your environment, you can live for God. Regardless of your past, you can have a bright future. Regardless of the destruction around you, you need not be destroyed. Hallelujah.